Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
Folks, we're going to continue on in our series this morning talking about refocus. Refocus what, George? Well, getting our focus back onto the Lord. We're going to talk about addressing the things that cause the subtle shifts that have affected our relationship with the Lord. Because remember, I asked two questions that have been foundational through this study. If you look at your Christian life, is there something missing? Shouldn't there be something more, George? That's what we were asking as a church. Shouldn't there be something more in my relationship with Him? And if the answer is yes to any of those questions, then there's a problem. But the problem isn't with the Lord. The problem is with us. And if you remember, when we were in Revelation chapter 2, we saw that we can get to the place, even though we're doing all the right things, we can abandon our first love. We can abandon Christ and just do what we're doing simply because that's what we do. We're Christians. And we looked at, last week, one of the things that can cause us to do that, and that's our spiritual pride, our self-sufficiency. Well, I recognize that not everybody has that issue. So you might be saying, okay, George, my issue isn't pride. Why is it that I've abandoned my love for Him? Why is it that I'm struggling? Why is it that I want something more, but there's just something hindering it? How do I find out what that is? Well, today and the next week, we're going to go a little bit deeper. And what we're going to talk about today, I'll just be flat out honest with you, can really devastate your relationship with Christ because of how you handle it. What are you talking about, George? Well, I'll just tell you what it is we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about suffering. Suffering. Going through difficulties and struggle. That can ultimately affect your view of God, how God sees you, how you feel God acts towards you, or that He's absent from you when you're going through it. And that can affect you. And eventually, all that stuff starts adding up. And what happens there is there comes a subtle shift in your thinking. I've been there. We could sit here all day and talk, share stories, right? And about our struggles. But this is what happens. Suffering really affects us. And it affects your relationship with the Lord. And before you know it, you're wondering why something's missing. You wonder why, isn't there something more in church? Why did this happen? Why did you, in fact, you begin to say things. Why'd you allow that to happen, Lord? I'm tired of learning lessons. So what we want to do today is we want to talk about the issue of suffering and how it affects us and what God says to us. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to talk about suffering because I'm going to be honest with you, no one is exempt. And listen, if somebody's coming along and telling you that you don't have enough faith, that's why it's not happening, you need to just acknowledge that is a lie. Because we're going to talk about a guy today that I don't think anybody would say didn't have faith. It's the Apostle Paul. So I want you to notice with me. He says this in verse 1. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body. I do not know. God knows, and I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. And on behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." All right, so let's take a look at this. We're going to take a look at several things here today. First of all, I'm going to talk about being caught off guard. Because I'll be honest with you, even if I say to you, just expect it, you're not going to be expecting it. Yeah, some things. Like you go to work, you just expect maybe it's going to be a terrible day at work. You can prepare. But there are other things that you don't prepare for. You don't prepare for phone calls saying a loved one was in an accident. You don't prepare for walking into a house and having your mother say to you, like I did, "Your daddy's dead, somebody killed him." You don't prepare for, how do you prepare for those kind of things? You don't. You don't prepare for that. There's no way to. So we get caught off guard. So we're going to talk about being caught off guard. We're also going to talk about the human response, the natural human response, which sometimes, I'll be honest with you, in Christian circles, we try to tell people not to respond that way, but it's okay. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about God's grace. So let's talk about being caught off guard. We're going to look at that, first of all, in the first 6 verses where Paul is boasting of something he saw. In fact, he was pretty humble about it. He saw something so wonderful that he didn't really want to say it was him. He said, "I'll boast about another guy. I'm not going to boast about myself." But then he kind of alludes to it as you get further in the passage that he's the one who saw it. He was taken up to third heaven. Now, what's the third heaven, George? Okay, well, let me help you to understand the ancient mindset. So in their mindset, so the first heaven is the atmosphere that you and I walk in. The second heaven is space beyond that. The third heaven is the abode of God. It's where God is. And so he's saying to the people who were there, he was taken up to what they would know as the third heaven, the place of God. And he saw things so wonderful that he couldn't talk about, that he didn't even want to talk about. He didn't want to boast about that. But here's the thing. You and I, you assume that the Christian life is filled with wonderful experiences with the Lord. You and I get there. And we're kind of told that, right? So when you get saved, you ever had somebody when you first got saved? Everything's going to be wonderful from here on out because you know the Lord. Then you realize, what were they talking about? I have the same problems. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I have more problems. What does that mean? Everything's going to be wonderful. That's what we tell people. Can we quit telling them that? Just tell them they have the Lord to carry them through the difficulties. We assume that life is these mountaintop experiences like Paul has. Yeah, there are some. There are some. There are times when God is very real. But they're few. Most of the times are in the valley of the shadow of death. Most of the times are difficulty. Most of the times are struggles where we don't know what we're doing. We just assume. And that, can I be honest with you, so that when there is a difficulty, when there is a struggle, we're caught off guard. We're completely caught off guard. And so here it is. You are blind to the reality that suffering is a normal part of your life. So can I tell you something? Here's the assumption of the scripture. If you wonder about suffering, if you wonder about it, why doesn't the Bible say more about it? Well, to be very honest with you, starting with Genesis chapter 3, going all the way up to Revelation chapter 19, there is an assumption in the Bible. The assumption is, if you are alive, you are going to suffer. you're going to go through struggles. Every book of the New Testament tells you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, Jesus says, you're going to what? Suffer. We live in a world that is difficult. And the Bible assumes that you're going to struggle. This is the life we live in. And you say, okay, well, George, that doesn't really answer me because, all right, I understand, and yes, I agree that it's affecting my viewpoint of God, and I agree that every time something happens and I feel disappointed, I feel hurt, it causes doubts to arise in my brain and questions about, does he really care for me? Because it does. What do we need to see here? Well, there's one more thing I want you to see here about being caught off guard. Something you need to understand about suffering. Look with me at verse 7. Here's what he says. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Here's what I need you and I to understand before we move on with the human response and God's grace. You need to understand the dimensions of suffering in your life. Here it is. Understand that suffering has a spiritual and physical dimension. Has a physical and spiritual dimension. Look at how he describes it in two ways. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, when I first read that, I thought about thorns like from my mother's rose bushes that she had in her front garden of the house that we grew up in. And sometimes I had to be told to work around them, and I get a thorn in me and get those thorns. And I was thinking, that's what a thorn is. That is not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about a briar. The word actually means an instrument of torture. There was given to Paul an instrument of torture. Now, it's interesting. Can I be honest with you? A lot of people have figured out, believe me, they've wasted lots of scholarly time trying to figure out what exactly is Paul talking about. Is it his eye problem? You'll hear some people, they'll say it's an eye problem. Actually, I think it's pretty much the way it is so that you can put anything in that category. Because the issue isn't the problem. Oh, he mentions the problem. The physical part of it is it's painful. And isn't that true about the suffering we go through? It's painful, but there's another dimension. He calls it, are you ready for this? A messenger of Satan. That's the spiritual dimension. That should draw you immediately to Job. Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Read it with me. This is an incident that Job had no clue about. This is an incident that took place in heaven, in the throne room of God, that Job wasn't even aware of. Listen to this. Here is what it says. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and the possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And guess what? He did touch him. Took his kids, took his wealth, everything. And guess what? He didn't know what was going on. There was a spiritual dimension here. This is the reality. There's a physical dimension. Ow, that hurt. There's a spiritual dimension. We're in a battle. What do you think Paul says when we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of the air? All we focus on is the physical. And we get upset. We get caught off guard. But here's what I want you to see. From this, there are some powerful things from verse 8 through 10 that you and I can grasp on to. The first one is human response. Look at what he says in verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Can I read it to you again? I want you to think about who it is that's saying this. This is the Apostle Paul, who wrote 12 letters in our New Testament, who influenced the writer of Hebrews and the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. So you could say that most of the New Testament has Paul's hand on it. But look at what he says. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. All right, here it is. It's okay and normal to cry out to God about your suffering. It's okay. Do you do that? When you're going through it, do you do that? I mean, forget for the moment that you're yelling about the problem. Forget for the moment that you're like, ah, I can't believe this is happening. Because sometimes when it rains, it pours, right? One thing after another. Do you know that it's okay? Because sometimes in church, we have to kind of act like we have it together. Have you noticed that? We're coming to church. I've been to churches where everybody walked in and you had to have it together. Your life may be falling apart, but you need to look good in church, right? And so you get the impression that you can't be real. In fact, you're told, don't complain to God. So what are you supposed to do with it? Can I tell you, I think that's the number one reason why people begin to lose their first love. It's because they have a wrong concept of God, that they can't go to Him and express their pain, that they can't go to Him and bare their soul and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I hurt. I don't even begin to understand why you allowed this to happen. I just need you. But the way we do church and the way that we assume things in our Christianity, we're supposed to just suck it up. Don't express your feelings. First of all, you know what? I understand that in a culture that feels that way. But can you not talk to the God of the universe who already knows everything? I mean, talk about being a hypocrite before the Lord, like everything's okay and sweet, Jesus, but in the inside, you're a mess because of what you're going through. Be real with Him. Paul was real. In fact, here's my next point I want you to see. Grieving before the Lord about your suffering is not a one-time event. Look at what it says there. How many times did he go to the Lord about it? He just did it one time, George. No, look at what the passage says. How many times? Three times. Do you think it really bothered him, whatever this thorn was? It must have, because it consumed him so much that three times he goes to God and he says to God, God, can you take this away from me? Listen, folks, part of the love that we should have for the Lord is the reality that we know that we can go to Him with whatever. You know what I'm talking about. You know what? I have friends. You have friends. Some of you have really close friends, right, that you can go to. You're not expecting them to solve your problem. You just know that they listen, that they hear you. And when you go to them and you bear your soul to them, they just put an arm around you. And they tell you, I'm there for you. And that means more than anything. And that's just a human being we're talking about. With God, He knows far more than that human friend does. And it's okay to keep going to Him and keep grieving. Keep grieving. This is what I'm telling you. It's okay. So many of us, we're in the midst of the difficulties and we allow it to affect our relationship with God. And the problem is you never went to Him and you never really talked to Him about it. You never really bore your soul. Like, how do I begin to know how to do that? Open up your Bible, read the Psalms. What we're talking about is called a lament. You say, well, I'm not supposed to complain to God. Yeah, murmuring, that's wrong. Lamenting is biblical. Lamenting is what the psalmist does. God, my enemies are around me. They want to take my life. Where are you? That's a lament. I feel abandoned. I feel alone. Don't turn your face from me, the psalmist would say. And you know what? It's okay. That's the human response. But I want you to notice God's grace. Okay, here's God's grace. Okay, here it is. Look with me. Verse 9 through 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Here's three things I want you to carry away from this passage. Here's the first one. The Lord never promises to take away your suffering. I want you to notice, when you look at this passage, three times he's asking God, take away this thorn. You get to verse 9, he doesn't even mention it. God doesn't promise to take away your problems. He doesn't promise to take away your suffering. Well, you know, I heard somebody say, I understand you heard somebody say that. I know that people will say, well, you don't have enough faith, so therefore this is why it's happening. No, listen, folks. That's all fluff, because that's not in the Bible. That's somebody's interpretation, and that will lead you down a dark path, because you will face things and you will think to yourself, there is something wrong with me because I don't have enough faith to take care of this, when the issue wasn't your faith. The issue is that he never promised to take away the problem. He just said, well, here's the next point. The Lord does promise to give you strength and grace to endure the suffering. That's what he promises you. He promises you that he will be with you. He'll never forsake you. Isn't that what Jesus said? He says here, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Boy, and don't we feel weak when we're in the midst of it. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. It's not just one time, it's grace upon grace if you understand the scripture. He doesn't promise to take it away. Now, for some of us, that's hard, but can I be honest with you? Yeah, if we think about it for a moment, it's hard, but let's look at life. Not a week goes by that something doesn't happen. Not a week goes by that we're not struggling with some issue, that something happens. Somebody betrays us. Somebody says something about us. Somebody slanders us. Stuff just comes out of nowhere. Like, why did that happen? Bills just happen. Get in a vehicle. Boom, a deer comes running out. By the way, they're going to be running soon, so be aware. Driving home last night from Indiana, spending time with the kids. Lori's ahead of me. I'm following her. And all of a sudden, there comes this rabbit. And so I'm like, like a rabbit. Should have just drove over it, but no, I was wanting to be kind to the rabbit. But then that could end up being all kinds of problems. Did I ask for that? That I'd hop in the car in Indiana and say, Lord, I'm following you and I'm hoping to get in an accident? No, nobody does that. That's just life. But he gives us grace. And he's with us. So that brings the third point up, and here's what I need you to see, okay? Purpose to look to God in the midst of your suffering. Look at what verse 10 says. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You got a purpose to seek him. You say, okay, George, what do we do with this? Well, I'm going to give you three thoughts, okay? Three thoughts that I want you to digest. Okay, here's the first one. For some of you, if we're talking about regaining our love for Christ, you got to let go of your anger. What? You got to let go of your anger. because you're mad at God right now for something or a series of somethings. You got to let go of your anger. Because it's a natural reaction to the difficulties and the struggles that we face. Do you understand? Because if we don't have anyone to blame, we look to him as to, okay, Lord, why did you let this happen? And we won't express that out loud. Am I not right? We won't want to, because, you know, good Christians don't say that. We'll think it, though. We'll feel it. But if you're wanting to regain that love for him again, if you're wanting something more in your life, if you're wanting something in our church, if something is missing, then I think the place where we begin is we get real with ourselves and we realize, maybe, Lord, I'm mad at you. Because I had a wrong thought about you. I had wrong ideas about you. I thought that somehow things were going to be good. Let go of your anger. Here's the second thing. Be honest with the Lord. Be honest with him. You know what? You're not going to hurt his feelings. Can I be honest with you? But think about how ridiculous that is. He already knows that. He already knows how you're feeling. You mean you can't tell him what you're thinking when he already knows your thoughts? Be honest with him. Some of the greatest times of growth in my life have been when I've been so frustrated, I just went to the Lord and I just said, Lord, here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm misunderstanding. Here's how I'm feeling. And I just lay it out there. Blah! And you know what? He can handle it. So the third thing here, as we close, seek his grace. Seek his grace. Because he said, my grace is sufficient. He promised he would give you it, right? So seek it. Daily seek it. Something for us to think and pray about.
Hi, folks. This is George. I want to thank you for listening this morning, and I want to tell you about a free app that you can get for your mobile device that will allow you to access all the materials and information you need about our church in one device. Simply go to your app store on your Android or Apple device and search for Kerwinsville Christian Church. The app is free. And what you'll find there is everything you need to know, plus all the teaching from our church, as well as this program. And we hope that you will utilize that in your search for Christ. Until next week, folks, take care and may the Lord bless you.